Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We would love to talk to you. We'd love to give you more information. You know, it's our desire that you have a burden for those lost people. That is our desire. Because, you know, we have a burden for them. But we can't do it alone. But also, if you have a burden for those lost people, then you're probably going to have a burden for your neighbor, too. You're probably going to have a burden for your coworker, too. And they're just as lost if they don't know Christ. You don't have to be in the backside of Alaska. You don't have to be in the backside of Africa, Australia, anywhere else. If you don't know Christ, it's the same hell that all will burn in. And you know, the Bible tells us that God's not... I'm getting ahead of myself. But, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. That's not why hell was created. That's not why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But that is ultimately our desire. And you know, I want to say this too. It's not because we're special people. It's not because we're super people. We're these, you know, whatever. No, we're just normal people like you and I. But we're people that God's called us there. And if God's called you here, then that's where he wants you. And you staying here is not a less position than us going there. It's not a less position than someone else going to another mission field. Where God wants you is the best place. And ultimately, that is the greatest place of service as well. That being said, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I want to look a little bit through this passage here this morning. First, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into it this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word has something to say for each and every area of our lives, Lord. Lord, that it can guide and direct us our whole lives, and that we'll never exhaust it, Lord. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you came to save those of us that will trust in you, Lord. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. You died for each and every person. Lord, I just thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you just help us now. Speak to hearts, Lord. Speak to my heart through your word this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would work. There's nothing I can say that will change someone, Lord. It is only you and your word. And I pray that you would just help now, Lord, work in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 14, it says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, it's common knowledge. It only makes sense that we cannot believe something we do not know exists, right? We can argue and we can say, okay, gravity doesn't exist. Well, I'm pretty sure when I jump off a mountain, I'm going to fall. I'm pretty sure if I jump off this platform, the ground is going to catch me. You can call it what you want, but I'm going down, right? But this is a different thing. See, we know that exists because we've experienced that. What about those that are lost without hope of a Savior? What about those that are lost with no knowledge of Jesus Christ? What do they believe in? Well, we understand, we know from the Bible that creation itself declares God, that creation itself declares there is a creator. There is someone higher. We understand that. But what if they didn't know who? What if they didn't know where to turn? What if they didn't have a Bible to read? What if they didn't have a Christian friend? What if they didn't have a smartphone to look up? What does God say about? I got to be honest. I grew up in church my whole life. And before I got saved, I would have never looked up something like that. What if they did not know the truth of the Word of God? Who would they call to? Who would they believe in? Who would they call on? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That is our desire, is to go and be that preacher, to go and be that witness, that gospel witness in Alaska. But let me ask you this. Who will be that here? Who will be that here? Who will tell your coworkers? Who will tell your neighbors? Who will tell those people that you come into contact There is a God in heaven that loves them, that cared for them, that died for them. You know, we're going to Alaska, right? In Ottumwa, Iowa, our home church. We go out door knocking on Saturdays in the summer. And in that town, I personally have knocked on Wiccan's doors, witches' doors, followers of Thor, Satanists, Norsemen. You say those are pagan religions. Those are pagan religions of days of yore. But they're alive and well today in our town because they have no light of the truth. They have no light into the Word of God. They do not know the Savior, the Creator of the world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We're commanded to go everywhere, to give the gospel everywhere. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have quite a few passages to go to, so if you can't keep up, that's all right. Just listen, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." I want you to consider this with me. If you are an ambassador, we all understand this, I think, you go from one country to represent that country to another country, typically, right? An ambassador is a go-between, right? They go, they represent somebody to somebody else. But let me ask you this. If we are ambassadors for Christ, but we go back to the country idea there, right? We go to one country and that country says, "Hey, we like your country's plans. We like their policies. Keep it up. It's great." And that ambassador takes that message and he takes that to the other country and he says, "Hey, they said your policies stink. If you keep it up, it's bad news." Is that being a truthful ambassador? No, it's not. But let me ask you this. If we say, "I love God, I love the Word of God, I want to reach the lost," and we don't do anything about it, what are we? Are we not then that lying ambassador? That ambassador that says, "Hey, I love you, God, I want to serve you. World, I love you too, and I want to serve you too." That's not what we're saying, but that's what we're acting. And you know, God says, a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can be saved, you can be born again, you can be on your way to heaven and living your life in opposition to the Savior. I don't want to be there. I don't think most of anyone here wants to be there. I hope nobody here wants to be there. But what are we doing for the cause of Christ? Go to John chapter 3, please. John 3, 16. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So we see God's plan there. God's plan is not that the world's condemned. God's plan is that the world be saved, right? Have everlasting life. Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Notice this, "because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So we see God's desire there is that the lost turn to Christ, right? They get out of that condemnation. Verse 18, "He that believeth is not condemned." If you're saved, if you're born again, you're not condemned. There's no fear of hell. There's no fear of condemnation. That is taken care of. That is gone. That is under the blood of Jesus Christ, right? But second half of that verse, "he that believeth not is condemned already." Notice why he's condemned. Not because he was a wicked person. Not because he had done heinous crimes. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're here today and you are lost, you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you don't have to be an awful person to go to hell. You don't have to be a terrible person to go to hell. You can be better than some Christians. But if you do not know Jesus Christ, you are still bound for hell. You are still headed for a devil's hell. The Bible says it was created for the devil and his angels, by the way. It wasn't created for people. It wasn't God's plan that people go there. But God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God cannot stand sin. So my question is if we see this, we see that Christ died for the world, that he's not willing that any should perish, but they should all have everlasting life. We see that. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned. We see that. So then knowing that narrow is the way that leadeth to life and broad is the way that leads to destruction, knowing that, we would have to admit that the vast majority of the world is headed down the broad road. The vast majority of the world is headed for a devil's hell. The minority of the world has the truth. The minority of the world possesses Jesus Christ in their heart. The minority believes the Word of God. So I submit to you this morning that us as the minority have a great task. Because it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It is God's desire that all go to heaven. But as we just laid out, we know that the majority are not. I think that should be motivation for us as Christians. I think that should be great motivation and go, why is that? That's not God's plan. It's not God's plan that the lost go to hell, that the majority go to hell. That's not God's plan. We know that to be a truth, but that's not God's desire. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that they come to repentance, right? But how will they know to repent and trust in Christ if we as Christians are silent? If we as Christians are not the witnesses God has commanded us to be. By the way, it's a privilege to be able to witness in this country and have the freedom in this country. I've spoken with people that are missionaries in China, and those people are different people. And forget the politics side, but the Christians in China, they're no joke. And they don't mess around. Do we need that persecution to serve God? I don't desire it. I don't want it. But will we as Christians rise to the occasion? Will we as Christians, will we as ambassadors be a truthful ambassador to this lost world, to those that do not know Christ, those that are bound for hell? Go back to Romans chapter 10, if you would please. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Sorry, I'm in Acts. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They cannot believe, they cannot hear, they cannot turn to a God they do not know. They cannot turn, they cannot believe, according to verse 17, without first hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, as I mentioned in Sunday school, we get boldness through the knowledge of the Bible, right? Salvation comes through knowledge of the Bible as well. Salvation comes through the Word of God. And you know, we're not going to be that effective witness. We're not going to be that bold witness if we do not know the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, it is not just the pastor's job to be that witness. It's each and every one of us' job. Acts chapter 8, we're all commanded to be that witness. We're all commanded to go. We're all commanded to give the gospel everywhere we do go. I want you to see an example of this. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, And Saul was consenting unto his death. It's talking about Stephen. And there was at that time a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Skip down to verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. These people that were scattered, these people that were running for their lives, they were fleeing from that persecution. These were not the pastors, if you will. These were not the missionaries, if you will. It says they were all scattered abroad except the apostles, right? These were the ordinary church folk that are scattered abroad, running for their lives. But while they're running, while they're fleeing, while they're escaping there, it says they went everywhere preaching the word. You know, we are all commanded to give the gospel. We are all commanded to preach the word. Now, that doesn't mean we're all commanded to be a pastor. Don't get crazy on me. But we're all commanded to preach the word of God, right? We're all commanded to present the word of God. We're all commanded to give the gospel. These were just ordinary folks running for their lives. Well, while they ran, while they fled, while they left, they took the time to give others the gospel. They took the time to preach the gospel everywhere. That's what it says. They were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. The ordinary people went everywhere preaching the word. Let me ask you this. Are you preaching the word? Are you giving the gospel? Are you presenting Christ to a world that by and large does not know him? And you say, they don't want to hear. I don't know if the Apostle Paul wanted to hear. But God got his attention. You ever thought about that? I know lots of people that didn't want to hear, but God got their attention. And it's through the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to give the gospel everywhere we go. I want you to just look at another example. Just skip down in Acts chapter 8, just real quickly. Acts chapter 8. Verse 30. The Bible says, And Philip ran thither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I want you to notice here that this man, this Ethiopian eunuch here, this guy, he had the very word of God. He's reading the very word of God. We understand he's reading the Old Testament, but he's reading the word of God, and he didn't get it. It did not make sense to him. He wasn't getting it. He says, How can I, except some man should guide me? Then Philip opened his mouth there in verse 35 and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, we hand gospel tracts out, and we say we witnessed to people. Because you handed someone a gospel tract, that is a great tool. Don't get me wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. Please give gospel tracts out. But understand that that is not the same as actually witnessing to someone. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we also understand that the lost don't understand all the scripture. Because they can't. They don't have the Holy Spirit. You as Christians do. How much better is it if you can give them the gospel as well? And please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying the word of God is insufficient. I know people that have gotten saved by reading a tract, by reading the word of God. But how much better is it for you to be that witness to them? Here, this man here had the very word of God and was lost as a goose in a snowstorm. He had no clue until Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Please don't use gospel tracts as witnessing excuses. They're good tools, but they are not a substitute for opening our own mouths and proclaiming Christ. Romans chapter 10 again. Romans chapter 10. You're like, we've been there a lot. I know. It's got a lot. Romans chapter 10. Second half of verse 14, it says, and how shall they believe on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. As I mentioned earlier, it's our desire to plant churches and to raise up men, to train them in the word of God and let them pastor those churches, native men, ideally, and allow them to pastor those churches, turn those churches over to them. But my question is how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, once again, it refers to the first part. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? We know the answer. They can't. You know, there's going to be no preachers in Alaska. There's going to be no Yupik pastors in Alaska until they hear the word of God and until they're sent, until they're called, until they're sent to be that individual. There's going to be no preachers if they are not first here and then sent. But how shall they hear? How shall they hear? It's our desire that we be a tool for that. Who will be a tool here? Who will be a tool here? Where you work, who's the gospel witness? Where you frequent, who's the gospel witness? You know people I'll never meet. You come across individuals I will likely never see this side of eternity. You say, that's why we have a pastor. Your pastor does his best. I'm fairly confident of that. But you know people he doesn't know. You come into contact with people he doesn't. And we are all commanded to be that witness for the cause of Christ. Remember those people that were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the gospel? We're all commanded to be that. I want you to look at an example of this. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says in verse 26, Luke chapter 8, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. We'll continue reading in just a moment, but I want you to see this. This guy, he's a maniac, right? He's out of his mind. He's possessed by Satan. If you read by the other passages, it says he was crying. No man could go that way. Nobody could go that way because this guy, he was out of his mind. He was possessed. He was oppressed by Satan, right? And Jesus casts out these devils, and then they immediately ask Jesus, hey, there's this herd of swine. There's these bunch of pigs over here. Can we go into them? And Jesus allows them. But I want you to notice what happens. It says, and then the devils went out of the man and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. You know, you can choose. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can choose to serve Satan. This man here was serving Satan. But you know, Satan is a destroyer and a destroyer from the beginning. And this guy, he was cutting himself. He was living in tombs. He was out of his mind. He was a lunatic because Satan possessed this man. And you know, these devils, they besought Jesus that he wouldn't command him to go to the deep. And he allowed him to go into these pigs here, these swine. And as soon as they possessed those pigs, they destroyed them. The herd ran violently down a steep place and were choked in the lake. Satan is always a destroyer. You can serve Satan if you're here today and you're lost, you don't know that Christ is your Savior. You can serve Satan all your life. And in the end, and there will be an end, payday will come. And it will end in destruction because Satan is a destroyer. Or you can turn to Jesus Christ. It may not be a bed of roses, it may not be an easy life. But at the end of the day, you serve Christ. At the end of the day, you get rewards in heaven for what you've done for Christ. And you get a home in heaven. How much better is it to, if you're going to struggle, if you're going to have sorrow, to have it with Christ? How much better is that than to serve the pleasures of sin for a season? And they'll all end in destruction. They'll all end in eternal torments. Let's continue reading, though. Verse 35. When they went out to see what was done, they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Also, I want you to notice there, just a side thought, but when Jesus came in, this man was a different guy. He was clothed. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. One man got Jesus. One man obeyed the command, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. One man obeyed. And you know, he didn't just go to his own house. It says he went his way and published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. This guy was a nut job. He was a whack. He was out of his mind. He was living in the tombs. He was naked. He was cutting himself. He was yelling and screaming. But Jesus came in, and Jesus changed this guy. And Jesus said, "Go back home. Tell them what I have done for you." And he obeys. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. How were those guys waiting for him? How were those guys prepared for Jesus this time? They had just asked him to leave. Because one man obeyed. One man went back home. One man went back and was the witness that God commanded him to be. One man said, you know, Christ made a difference in my life. Christ saved me from a worthless life in the tombs. I'm going to go and tell these people of the same Christ, of the same Jesus. And he obeyed. You know, I'm not here today to tell you that if you witness to one person, the whole city is going to get saved. The whole city is going to turn to Christ. But I would venture to say that if you don't witness to anyone, no one will get saved by your testimony. No one will come to Christ through your testimony. This guy published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done. And the whole city was waiting for Jesus to come back because one man obeyed. Will you be that one man? Will you be that one person? Again, I'm not promising you the city's getting saved. But will you give the gospel to someone? Will you give the gospel to multiple someones? Will you give the gospel until you see someone get saved? It's not an easy task. It's not a light task. Maybe you all here have that boldness that we spoke about in Sunday school. It sometimes is very evasive for me. I sometimes have a hard time finding it. But with God's help, we can all be that bold witness, as this man was, to give the gospel. Romans chapter 10, we'll be done. Romans chapter 10, we'll close here. Romans 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Verse 3 there sums up all religion. If you trust in religion, you're going about to establish your own righteousness, but you have forgotten God's righteousness. But verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." What is your heart's desire? Is it to see the lost saved? Is it to see those around you come to the knowledge of Christ? They can reject Him. That's on them. But have you given Him? Have you given the gospel? Have you allowed them the opportunity to accept or reject that gospel? Because if you have not, then their blood is somewhat on your hands. Because you've not done your part. They can reject. That is up to them. But have we given? "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." What are you praying for? Do you pray for the lost? Do you pray that you would be the witness God has commanded us to be? If God was done with us when we got saved, then why are we all here today? He wasn't done with us when we got saved. As we looked at in the first part, broad is the way that leads to destruction. But it's not God's desire, it's not God's plan that that be the case. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was all of us once. Someone told us, "Are you grateful?" I grew up in a Christian home. I'm so thankful for that. I got saved from so many sins that I didn't have to experience. I got saved from a life of wickedness that I didn't have to live. I'm so thankful for that. But are we willing to give someone else that chance? Are we willing to give someone else that opportunity? What's your heart's desire? What is your prayer? And what is your focus in life on? Is it on the gospel? Or have we gotten sidetracked? I understand we all have to survive. We all have to live. But has our focus changed from where it ought to be? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts. Lord, help us all to be the witness you've commanded us to be, Lord. Lord, we're not super Christians. We're not special people, Lord. We're just people that are seeking to obey you, Lord. Lord, I think we all probably want to obey you, but Lord, help us to actually live that. Lord, help us to want that, but help us to actually follow through with that. And I pray that you just work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.